Good morning, everybody. It's really nice to see all of you. It's nice to see a couple of new faces. It's really lucky for us to have you here with us. My name is Rian, and if you don't know, I'm Rian, so now you know. Anyway, so this morning, maybe just first of all, last week, we had a great time in Hermanus with quite a couple of people that joined us going to the congregation there. And it's just so nice to see what God is doing in Hermanus. It's still small. There's still space for a lot of growth. There's space for a lot of things for God to do. But the guys on that side are really doing well. And so it was a great time. And our guys ministered and they served in the kids' church. And it was just so awesome to see how they are serving the church there on that side. So this morning, I want to preach about casting our burdens to the Lord. I believe for us, we're in a time of great anxiety. Like when you start reading just a little bit further than your Bible, you will realize that all over the world, there is a massive amount of anxiety, a massive amount of fear, and just people in grave times. All over the world, we hear of big things happening. And everything from, even for us here in Cape Town, having had the mountain fires. It's like you see all around things just happening, and it places within you questions. It sits within you things of like, yo, what is coming? What is happening? Like, what's tomorrow going to be like? What's going to happen tomorrow? And in these things, we start building up anxieties and fears and all of the rest. And I do believe for us this morning, and this is where I want to get to, for us this morning is that we would know, and just like Kevin shared that word about God coming and putting a ring on Bruce's finger, like we've got access to God. And in this day, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we need to get through, however big this thing looks, I want to say to you, God is bigger. God is stronger. God is more mindful and more aware of what it is that you're going through. And in the process of that, God is saying, I want to be there with you. And I want to be there to help you through this thing. And for us this morning, because even though we are Christian and we know that God loves us and we know that God makes everything work out for the good, yet we still sit with anxieties. We still sit with fears. We still sit with insecurities. And I do believe that God wants to come and he's actually saying, come and give it to me. So let's get into it. So it's going to all make sense to you just now. So don't worry, we're going somewhere. So before I read this, I usually at night, some nights, I don't always get the opportunity, but put my girls to bed. And then when I put them to bed, then usually I would lie in between them. They'd share a bed. I would lie in between them because they would want me. They don't want to fall asleep alone, even though they're together. But Daddy, can you please lie with us? And it's also a way that they get to stay awake for longer. Anyway, but as I lie between them, I usually give one my one hand and the other one my other hand. And so I would lie in between them and encourage them strongly to close their eyes because it's time to sleep. But as I'm lying with them, and just sometimes I fall asleep, but most of the time I like in that moment, it's like it's just a moment where you get to consider them and their lives. And you think of, sure, God, thank you that we've made it through this day safe and we're all alive. And you just start thinking about life. And in those moments, sometimes I find in my heart, I find myself coming into that place where I go like, sure, God, you really need to help me because I want to raise these girls in a way that honors you. Sure, God, you really need to help me. I want to be the best dad for them. I want to be the best picture for them of your love, not just for me, but your love for them. God, you need to help me. And I realize in those moments, I realize my failings as a person that has got flesh and a sinful nature that looks out for itself. It wants to preserve itself. It wants to, you know, shy away from the uncomfortability. And children, if you had children for even just one day, you would know it works on all of those things. It works on your selfishness. It works on your, like, the you that want just your time. It takes all those things out of you. And in those moments, I sit and I go, God, I need your help. I need your help in this. And even when I think of us as a church, I go, God, this is just as much your children. God, oh, I need your help. I need your help to lead this. I need your help to be that big picture of who you are and what it is that you're saying. And I realize, like, in those moments, if I don't do it right, my heart can get overwhelmed with the anxiety of just being a dad, just being a husband, not even just thinking about leading a church. But in those moments, I find myself coming to that place where I realize, okay, God, I don't know how to do this. Like, I've got limitations. I've got failings. I've got failures. But God, I want to please you. And I bow the knee to God. And this morning, I want to kind of bring us into this because I do believe God makes space for us to be in that place. God makes space for us to come and bring our failings and our cares and our anxieties, the things that's on our heart. He makes so much space for us to come to Him and lift those burdens on everything that we need to do. So I'm going to start off in 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 11. Now, the context of this piece of scripture, or actually just even this whole book, is so important. Peter, he was called the apostle of hope. When you read his books, you get built up with how to stand firm in the face of great persecution. So at the same time that Peter is writing this book, you had the Roman Empire with Nero, and he was kind of leading the charge. And so they invaded the Christendom or Christian lands and people, and they were actually enslaved and trodden over by these Romans. And then in Rome, what happened is they had a great fire. Like, you can go research it a little bit, but there was a big fire in Rome. And they say that this fire burned uncontrollably for 6 days. It burned down 2/3 of Rome, and Rome was vast. And then after they had it under control, they still burned for another 3 days. Now, all of our bits get thrown out of pieces when a small little mountain burns, and it's not even, I mean, it's devastating, but it's not your house, it's not my house, it's not everybody else around us. And so for 9 days, the whole of Rome was burning. And Nero went and he said, this is the fault of the Christians. And so in this place, the whole Roman Empire changes the attitude already, that's already like against the Christians, changes it completely. And they go, these people, they are like cockroaches. They are like, we need to eradicate them. And we see the first onslaught, the first big persecution coming to the early Christians. And so Peter is there in that time. And as he's reading, as he's writing 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he's reading it to the people that's facing these things. So when we think of our own lives and what we're facing just with COVID, for us it seems completely overwhelming. But for them, like, the amount of persecution, the struggles, the things that they had to go through was vast. And in this place, he's encouraging them to stand firm, to stand in the midst of persecution. And as we're going to read just now, to cast all their fears, all their cares, all their anxieties about what is happening around them, to cast it to God because God cares for them. So we're going to read into that. And I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of the flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, or in some translations it says, because of obligation, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Just like the elders here, like there's some of them are here, some of them next service, they know that they're doing this out of a willingness. They're doing this out of a place of where they say, God, we want to serve you with everything that we have. And that's the way that God wants it. Not pursuing dishonest gain or for monetary gain is what that thing points to. But eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock, to the flock. And those examples that it says there, speaking to the elders, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We see where Paul addresses Timothy and saying, this is what it looks like to be an elder. So when it says here, being examples, it's being examples in speech, be examples in the way that we love, in the way that we live, in the way that we do life, in our way that we pursue God and pursue purity. And then it says this, and when the chief shepherd, in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, and he's going to speak now to a group of people, and then he speaks to everybody. He says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, and well, let's just stop there, submit yourselves to the elders. And so we can quickly look at this and think, okay, it must be the Carlos or the Rian or the Chad that he's speaking to. But the reason why he's addressing the young men is because the young men didn't understand authority. They haven't really been in war. They haven't really been in military. Where the old men, they fought the fight with the Romans. And so they understand when God is speaking to the leaders and saying, submit yourselves. They understand how they need to position and posture themselves. Now, these things are important because for each and every one of us, and I mean each and every one of us, even for me, we're all under authority. All of us are under authority, and some of us are over some people in authority. But in that, we need to position and posture ourselves the right way. And we're going to see just now why that matters. Because with each and every one of these things, how we need to, we get anxieties because there's things that we need to do. There's things that we need to hear. There's things that we need to listen to. There's things that we need to submit to. And all of these things is things that cause us and can cause anxiety. And I'll show you just now why I'm saying that. So, and then it says this. All of you, so it takes its attention away from the young men. And it says, speaks to all of the people. It says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And then it gives a reason why this is important. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And he's not speaking to the unsaved person here, or the Philistine or the Roman. No, he's speaking to the Christians. He's saying, clothe yourself with humility. God opposes the proud. Meaning, I can be a Christian and my life can be filled with pride. And then, just like I loved what Bruce said, grew up in a Christian home. But yet there was something missing. And here comes a day where he says, like, this is the day that I want to give everything over to God. He's bending the knee. He's saying, God, it's not me, it's you. It's not mine, it's yours. And so we can be a Christian and we can know all these things and we can recite the scriptures and go to church and do all these things. But yet God actually comes and he resists us. And I know for each and every one of us here, there's not one of us that say, I'm okay with that. All of us want, in our deepest, innermost most parts, we want God to receive us. Amen? We want God to invite us in. We want to be right next to his chest. Like the disciple John speaks in the Gospels of John, resting his head on Jesus' heart. If I, like, can open up or look into, use that magnifying glass that Kevin spoke about, into each of every one of our hearts. I know that that desire to be so close with God is absolutely the thing that's here in our hearts. We want it more than anything else. But see, there's these things that keep us from that place. We've got to expose ourselves to the truth of God so that we don't blind ourselves to these things, but that we lean into His heart. Amen? So, humble yourselves, therefore. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Man. I'm going to just carry on a little bit and then we're going to come back. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy. And it's interesting that it says your enemy. See, in our life, when you're anxious, and you can just think of yourself, and there's so many examples that we use. Say somebody breaks into your house. So if you're me, I grab my hockey stick, because I'm quite good with my hockey stick. I grab my hockey stick, and I go, whoa, 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 what's happening, you know? But in that moment, there's like adrenaline pumping and this. And I'm pretty sure that might be that one of my daughters come behind me, and I'm looking for the, where's this thief? And I'm all stressed out. I might, if I'm not careful, just, you know, give them a thump on the head, thinking that it's a thief. But when we look at our, when we look at our situations, when things are, when everything is going crazy and the people around us, we so easily can look at a friend and think that it's a foe. We can so easily miss the right way to react because we are blinded in that moment by the anxiety and the overwhelmingness and just everything is too much. And it's like, is it just me that's like that or not you guys? See, and so Peter comes here and he describes to them exactly who is your enemy. And if you read that in line with the couple of verses that come before or filter through it, you see him saying, hey, the way that you treat one another, be humble towards each other. Be loving towards each other. Stand with one another. Your enemy is not this. Your enemy is the devil. Your enemy is the devil. It's not flesh and blood. It's powers, principalities. See, but when we have these moments when everything is going crazy, we just look at who's, you know, who, and we forget actually our enemy is the devil. And then it goes on, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And those same kind of sufferings is the sufferings, the onslaught of the devil, wanting to break down the kingdom of God, wanting to take the people of God and isolate them and pull them away from what really matters. It's such a key scripture. And I remember in the first part of the lockdown, we've gone through some of these things. But I want to remind us again of it and encourage you to take time to go read through this for yourself and allow God to come and speak to you. And then in verse 10, it says this. It says, now after you resisted in standing firm in your faith, humbled yourself, it says in verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So, how am I speaking about casting your anxieties? What does that What is it? How does these things come together? See, I want to say this to us. That there's one thing, I believe, that keeps us away from casting our anxieties to God. And it's pride. We saw it in this. Why? Why do I say that? Pride is going, no, I can do this. No, I know. No, I can try and work hard enough. No, I'm not that bad. I'm not that weak. No, I can try and figure it out. I'm just going to go. And all around, every time, we just look at ourselves and we fight this battle in flesh and blood where it's a battle that's happening in the spiritual. But because of flesh and blood, we're unable to recognize where to actually go and fight this battle. And see, when humility comes and when we allow ourselves to actually come to God and say, God, I don't know. God, I need your help. God, I can't do it on my own. In that moment, God comes and he picks us up. In that moment, we find his strength. We find his faith. Just with that, what that scripture said. It says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you suffered for all, will himself restore you. So immediately you see this picture of where God is saying, if you come down, I will come and do. So I want to ask you, maybe just there where you're at. Maybe close your eyes quickly, just for a second or two. You know the struggles that you're facing right now. It might be a feeling. It might be a person. It might be a finances. It might be a situation at work. It might be losing your house. Whatever the thing is, I want you to consider the way that you have been handling it up to this moment. And all that's been happening, it's actually just getting more chaotic, more demagogue, more complicated, more messy. Because all you've been doing is just trying to figure it out for yourself. But actually God comes and says, hey, cast your anxiety upon me. Bring it to me. Lay it at my feet. Because I care for you. No, God, but you're busy. You've got a lot of stuff to do. No. Maybe it's being looked down on. Maybe it's being unnoticed and unappreciated by your spouse or work, even church. See, all of these things that we're facing, and you can maybe look at me again, but all the things that we're facing, no matter how much it is on the outside, the thing that it ultimately points to and makes us feel like is we're going to lose face. What are people going to think of us? What are people going to say about us? And that causes us to want to go, no, but I'm not like this, or no, this... And we try and prove ourselves. I was this week, went somewhere, go pick something up. And as I'm walking back to my car, this lady, she had a 16-year-old girl and then like a 10 and an 8-year-old boy. Asked me, can they quickly talk to me? And I'm like, yeah, sure, you can talk to me. And they've been thrown out of their house. They don't have money. They don't have anything. And in that moment, my heart just like was so conflicted with so many things. But my heart broke for them. Because as I'm listening to their story, and it showed something for me about me. As I listened to their story, they need 570 rand for a month's stay in a house. 570 rand. Now, if I go out and say, I take Kevin and Mandy out for supper, and I've got Helen and the kids with me, we're easily going to eat up 570 rand. And we're not going to go to, you know, the la-di-da kind of place. I don't want to mention a name. I don't think it's legal. We're going to go to Checkers. And I just realized, for this lady, for her children, 8-year-old son, sitting there crying, he's been out on the streets at 2 o'clock this morning. The value of things that we have is so different. My anxiety becomes, oh, I hope I can one day send my girls to university. Maybe for you it's, I hope I can buy that new car. Or maybe I can buy that 1,000 rand pair of jeans. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying for all of us, our value system of what is important is so vastly different. And somehow for us that they have so much, we find it so difficult to come to that place of where we can actually say, God, we need you. God, I need you to help me. See, for us to lose face or to have these anxieties, and it's all painful. But I do believe that God, when we look at the scripture, God commands us to actually come and be humble. Regardless of whether your 500 rand is a month's stay and food for you and your children, or whether your 500 rand is, I don't know, these days you can buy underpants for 500 rand, underpant. And I do believe for us it's important that for all of us need to understand that God resists the proud, gives grace, and he invites in the humble. So, Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another scripture, Psalm 55, verse 22, says this. Cast your burden on the Lord. Now, there's a picture about this word cast and what it means. So when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and they put him on the donkey, what people did is they took their jackets off or their robes. They took their robes off and they threw it on top of the donkey for Jesus to sit on. Our cares and our anxieties is not something that we should carry. Casting it off means, I'm not going to rip my shirt open, okay, but it means taking what is on us, taking what is lying on me, those who are laboring and are heavy laden, it's taking what is on me and saying, God, I cannot carry this. God, I want to give it over. And from that moment, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We can't sit with it, we can't think of it, we can't like try and figure it out. It's actually just coming to him and saying, God, here, take it. You have it. Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So if you think of that scripture, and you think of 1 Peter 5 that we read, it says, humble yourself, cast your anxieties upon the Lord. And then at the very end of it, it says, resist the devil, stand firm in faith. You see how those two come together? How they connect? It's like all throughout Scripture, God gives us this way to deal with our anxieties, gives us this way how to deal with our cares, gives us this way how to cast it towards Him. And in that, He takes it and He builds us up. He causes us to stand. You see, these anxieties, these things that we need to do, these things that we need to get to, whether it's our children, our work, church, all of the things, all that they're trying to do is to separate us from God and from one another. Because the moment we stand alone, that roaring lion gets a free meal. And so it's so important for us to not have to sit with these things. So got to finish up. But how do we then give Him our cares? How do we give Him our anxieties? Psalm 37 verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. We spoke about it the other day in the community and saying like just we so easily say that we trust in God. But in our saying that we trust in God, we actually say, okay, God, I'm going to trust in You. That's what we say in our hearts. We don't ever really say it to God, but in our hearts, this is what's happening. God, I'm going to trust in You when You show me that You can provide for this thing. Does that sound like trust? No. Okay, God, I'm going to trust in You if You sort out my wife. Never going to happen. God's going to sort out you. See, we kind of put these things towards God and we say, cool, God, when You show that I can trust You, then You can have it. When You show that You can sort it out or provide, then You can do it. And we kind of hold that thing here. Okay, cool. Like it's like this tug of war kind of between you and God. And trusting in God, it's actually coming and saying to God, God, this is a list of my things, God. I'm trusting in You. Leaving it. God, whether you take that paper, whether you tear it up, whether you wipe it off, God, it doesn't matter. I trust in You. Whether you do it, whether you don't do it, I trust in You. If you do it, great. If you don't do it, I'm sure, God, You're going to give me the ability to stand firm. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Psalm 34, verse 17 to 18 says this. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. And just hear how beautiful this is. And the scripture has been so close to my heart. It's the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. See, when our anxieties, they come to that place of where they bear down on us so much that sometimes just because we are stubborn and proud or prideful, that thing almost comes like a close to crushing you as a person. Where the load is just, I can't take it anymore. Well, I think, Bruce, that's something that you experienced. But see, the invitation is always there for us. Before that crushes us, for us to give ourselves to God. But see, when we come to God and we say, God, take this anxiety, take this problem, take this trouble, take this, it costs us to come humble. It costs us to actually come and say, God, and acknowledge the fact that, God, I cannot do this. God, I cannot make this happen. God, I cannot do what I need to get done. And it's that acknowledgement of saying, God, I don't have it. And laying that before God, God comes and it says he's close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those who are crushed in their spirits. I want to ask us this question. What does it mean that God cares for you? It means he will act. He will act for you. He has act for each and every one of us. We are as great as we might think we are. We are an evil, selfish, self-absorbed, prideful people. Sometimes feel like, yo, I don't know what the devil is doing. He's definitely not doing his job because I'm evil all by myself. He's acted for us. He gave his son Jesus to the cross. I went and I was reading through the Gospels and kind of came across this part again where Jesus was praying in the garden before he went to the cross. And it says his anxieties, Jesus, his anxieties, his anguish in his heart caused him to sweat blood. But yet he still said, God, not my will, your will. Gave himself willingly into the hands of God. Not knowing how this is going to turn out. Well, I think there's obviously some sense in his heart. But yet he gave himself. And when we look at that picture of that, I go like, that is the picture for us to follow. It's in that place to give ourselves over to the will of God. He will act for you. He will work for you. It's not always going to be what we would have done, but it's going to be in his way, in his timing, and it's going to be in exactly the right way we would have needed it. He sees 1,000 connections that we don't see. His ways is above our ways. His thoughts is above our thoughts. So when he says that he cares for us, and he says, give your what's troubling your heart over to me. He's coming at from a point that we're unable to even see how he can act. Unable to see how he can connect and make right and restore and make new things. And so I want to end off with this. Philippians 4 verse 6. It's how we get ourselves to that place to cast our cares. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's guard your hearts and your minds. Our fears are not here. Our fears are here. The what ifs, it's all here. And we cause the here to start flowing into our hearts. But God, I don't know if I can trust you. I trusted you for that thing, God. You didn't come through. Oh God, you don't understand. It looks like everything is God. You don't understand. We pull ourselves back from God and go, no, God, you don't understand how God, you don't know these people. God, you don't. Is it only me that feels like that? No, God is saying, come to me. Be anxious for nothing. Prayer, petition, in everything. So come to a place of where we bring ourselves before God. I want to ask you just for yourself to answer to yourself. What are the times that you pray most? What are the times that you pray most? Is it the time when there's finances that's short, or kids that's not working out, or husband that's difficult, or wife that, or relationships or work. We tend to, in those times, run to God. God, 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 God. God, you need to sort this out. But let me keep my things here. And I believe it's time for us. God wants to come and He wants to draw close to us, each and every one of us, our hearts. He wants to draw it close. He wants it next to His. It's time to come back to God in this way. So God, here is my life. Here is my anxieties. Here's my fears. Here's my disappointments, God. Here's the things that I'm carrying with, God. Here is my burden. Here's the things that are weighing down on me, God. He wants it. He cares for you, and He wants to act for you. Let's close our eyes.